of the Spirit. So, Father, may I decrease and may you increase. And may nothing come forth from my mouth tonight that is not of you. Pray that you would open the eyes, the heart, the mind, the spirit, the soul of your children to receive the word in due season that you have for them. Not just a logos word, but a rhema word of God for today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there was this pastor one time that my husband and I heard about. And he walked in one Sunday morning behind the pulpit. He prayed for the congregation to hear the word of the Lord. He stood behind the pulpit and he said, God would say to you today, love one another. And he walked away. Got down, walked out. That was it. This is about a 1,000 to 2,000 member congregation. Brand new pastor. Everybody kind of sat, looked at each other, and went, well, what do we do now? So they all kind of went on home, and next Sunday rolls around, and they go through everything, and the pastor walks up behind the pulpit, and he said, God would say to each and every one of you, love one another. And he turned, and he walked off of the podium, and left the building. So the third Sunday, he did the same thing, about which time he got calls from the elders, the deacons, the board members, all the other powers that be, and said, you know, I mean, I know you're new here, and maybe you don't know how we do things, but typically we have, you know, we allow you like half an hour, 40 minutes to, you know, bring forth the word of God for the people. So we just wanted to tell you, people are like maybe wanting a little more. And the pastor said, I tell you what, when they get that, I'll move on to something else. So I thought of that story today because God has something just keeps rolling around inside of me. And so if this is repetitive to you, then maybe you need to hear it more than once. Amen. So forgive me. But I'm going to just share what is on my heart. I'm going to talk tonight about the equipping. We've been talking a lot about new things, and that God is getting ready to do a new thing. And even Rex brought forth a word on Sunday, which if you're not here on Sunday, it was a word directly for this body. You need to go out and hear it online or get Brandy and she'll get you a free CD so you can listen to it. But the word, one of the things he was talking about is he said, in order for us to get to the next place, we've got to get this. This is critical. And whenever the Lord is going to take any of us from one thing into a new thing, there is always an equipping that is going on before we get to that next place. And an equipping always involves two things. Equipping always involves a shedding and an imparting. It always does. There's always a shedding of things that we no longer need. There are things that you have in the place you're in that God, in the equipping time before he takes you to that new place, he needs to begin to shed those things away. And then there's always an imparting of things that we're going to need. And the shedding and the imparting can be any number of things. It can be a shedding and an imparting of mindsets, ways that you think, how you believe, how you read and interpret the word of God. It could be actions. It could be talents. It could be skills. It could be people. It could be any number of things. Things that maybe worked in this place, and they were fine then, but God says, you know what, they're not going to work in this next place. And you may be used to this, and that's all great, but it's not going to work here. And until I get this worked out here, I cannot take you there, because this is essential for this next place. And so you're in the equipping place. With Moses, when the Lord was getting ready to take Moses in a way he had never, ever been before, the first thing that he needed to do was he needed to equip him. You think about it. He spent 40 years just trying to tend and get sheep to go a particular direction long before God ever let him lay his hands on his people. And then he began tending the people of God. But in this equipping process, we see really vital things, three really vital things, three signs that he showed Moses. to equip him with the faith and the understanding and the belief of three specific things. He needed this. In this equipping time, if Moses didn't get this, if he didn't believe this, he would not have done a very good job at all in the place that God was taking him to. In fact, he probably would have perished there. He would have hurt a lot of people there. He may have never fulfilled what he was supposed to do. So let's look tonight at the three things that God needed to show him in this equipping process so that he would have the faith to believe and understand three very powerful things. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 4. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Moses said, this is after the burning bush, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? They say the Lord did not appear to you. Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. And the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, just like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first two miraculous signs, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." As you read this story, here's what you see very profoundly. God wanted to show Moses his power and his authority over three things. The first one was creation. "I want to show you my power and my authority over creation. Tell you what, I can take a stick and turn it into a snake, and I can take a snake and turn it back into a stick." That's power over creation. And then he wanted to show him his power and his authority over the flesh. "Take your hand, stick it in there, I can make it leprous, and then I can heal it. I have all power, Moses, I have all authority over the flesh." And then he wanted to show him that he had power and authority over the earth, over the ground, over the sea, over the air. "I can take water and I can turn it into blood." These were things that Moses needed to know. Where Moses was going to go, and if he was going to lead all of these people, he was going to need to know, "The God that is leading me has power over creation, power over the flesh, and power over the earth." This was the equipping that Moses needed. So then, God is so great, and I love this. He sent him a companion for courage in the way. God is never going to ask you to go to a next place that he won't send you a companion for courage. You may not always get hundreds or thousands, but God will always give you one. Every once in a while, it'll just be you and the Holy Spirit. But God always has somebody around there that will give you companionship and courage in this new way. If we go on to 10, Moses says to Moses, "Well, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send somebody else." And then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "Well, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, as if you were God to him. But take the staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." So he takes him, he shows him his power, he shows him authority over these three things, because in the place where he is going to go, Moses is going to need to know this. He's taking a fearful people into a place that they have never been before. If God is going to take you to a brand new place, there are some things that you're going to have to believe now, today, about God, before you ever get there. So often we think, "God, just get me there. Just get me out of this place and get me to the next place." And it isn't always even about what you can and can't do there. It's about what you believe and don't believe here that is totally going to slaughter you there. So often, it's not about what he's trying to teach you. It's about what he's trying to show you. He's trying to change your belief system. He's trying to get you to understand things differently. When Moses gets out into the desert, what do we see? We see power over creation. We see manna. We see quail. We see water from a rock. We see a Red Sea parted. We see a pillar of fire that leads him by day, a cloud by night. We see bitter waters that become sweet. Moses is in this brand new place with countless people. And he has got to have faith and he has got to have understanding that the God that I serve and the God that I am following and the God that brought me out here has power and authority to make water come from a rock, to make the mountains be removed, to make animals come and lay dead before me for the people to eat, or any number of other things. And here's the other thing that I loved when I watched how he equipped Moses. He warned him every step of the way. He took the time to equip him. And one of the things that he warned him about was he said, Moses, you need to understand this equipping that we're going to go through is going to take a little while. So don't expect it to just happen like that. The equipping is going to take a little bit of time. Go down, starting in, let me find it here. Hold on a minute. Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. And Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all of the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on the donkey, and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do, but I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then they say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. Have you ever read that and gone, okay, so why in the world would God tell somebody to go do something, and then he would harden the very man's heart? He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him, let my people go, that they may go and worship me. And yet I'm going to harden his heart so he won't do it. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And yet there was a very specific purpose that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it was because it was to give an opportunity to show his children the very things that he had shown Moses. It was an opportunity. These were slaves. They didn't know a whole lot about God. They didn't really know who he was. And God needed to show these children, I'm going to take you out of this place and I'm going to take you in a brand new place. And you know how to operate here as a slave, but you have no idea how to operate as a free man. And so as a free man, you're going to need to know some things. You're going to need to understand that I am a God who has power and authority over everything that's going to happen to you in this new place. I have power and authority over creation, the flesh, and earth. Think about the plagues and the wonders. Time after time, Moses goes. And he goes, let my people go. And time after time, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. And every time it happened, the children of Israel got to see the power and the authority of Almighty God over these three things. And every time that they did, they understood a little bit more who this God really is. They saw water turn to blood, which was power and authority over the earth. They saw the frogs, which was power and authority over creation. They saw dirt turn to gnats, which was God saying, look, I have power and authority over the earth and creation. Flies, plagues on livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, even the death of the firstborn. Over and over again, the children of Israel watch, and they witness, and they watch, and they witness. And I want you to think about this. What would have happened if the very first time Moses walked up to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, Pharaoh would have gone, okay. What would that have said to the children of Israel? They would have thought, Pharaoh is weak, and how come one of you didn't do this sooner? How come we've been sitting here as slaves all this time? They would have thought Moses was God. Wow, look at all the power he's got. He just has to speak once, and they'd have had the wrong God. Maybe they would have just thought, eh, he was just weak. they would have had the wrong thought. But see, God didn't just need to equip Moses. He needed to equip the children. He needed to equip all of his people. And so he took time, and he took time, and he took time. And have you ever been in a situation where you're like, why in the world am I dealing with such a hard heart? God, you have told me to talk to this person. God, you have told me to love this person. God, you have told me to do this. God, you have told me to go speak to these people. And you feel like you're running up against Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh's heart. Don't focus on Pharaoh's heart. Focus on what God is trying to show you in that situation. There's an equipping. There's something he wants you to see. There's something different that you need to understand. It wasn't about Pharaoh's heart. It was about God. And what the people saw in the equipping process that they were in before God took them off to the next place, he hardened Pharaoh's heart to equip them with faith and understanding of who God really was, and faith and understanding of who their leader really was. God wanted the people to have faith and understanding in Moses too. They didn't really know who this Moses guy was. Might have heard about him. But it's like, well, who are you? In fact, they said that a lot about him. Well, who are you and why should we follow you? So God's like, well, you need to understand the power and authority that God had in order to take them through the place he was going to take them through, this new place that they've ever been before, and the power and the authority that he had given the leader that he had appointed to follow them, to lead them out into that next place. So I want you to think about the place that you're in right now. Because I guarantee you every single one of you is in an equipping place. And sometimes an equipping place is a hard place. Sometimes it can be a frustrating place. Because there can be hardness of hearts. There can be hardness of circumstances. Why isn't this mountain moving? I know what the word of God says, speak to the mountain. I have spoke to this mountain for 3 years. Why is it not moving? Because it's not time. It's not time for it to move yet. But in the meantime, what is God trying to equip you with? What is God trying to teach you? What is God trying to show you? Because I'm going to tell you what, when that mountain moves, there's something on the other side of it, and you better be ready for it. You ever watch that, what's that show where they come in and do all the wonderful house thing? Yes. And then the truck all of a sudden moves. On the other side of your mountain is a whole lot of things that you know not of, that God is today equipping you for. The desert was a place that God knew the children were going to be for a while. Again, he knew they were going to be there for a little while. It wasn't just going to be, we're just going to run through the desert and then we're going to go straight to the promised land. They're going to be there a while. And he needed them to believe a few things about him for them to make it there. He needed them to believe in God as a deliverer, as a provider, as a leader, and as a healer. And I'm going to tell you, if God is going to take you into a new place, you are going to have to believe about him at a different level, as a deliverer, as a provider, as a leader, and as a healer than you do today. Today, right now, every one of you, if I said, who believes that God is your leader and your provider and your deliverer and your healer, every one of you would raise your hand. But I'm going to tell you what, in a new place, you're going to have to believe that at a whole different level. Right. And you know how I know that? Because I can look back where I was 10 years ago. Right. And if I would have been 10 years ago here, I'd have been dead. Some days I'm thinking, I'm not even equipped to be here, Lord. Come on. Or am I the only one that ever feels that way? No, that's right. It's like, well, you just better get me through the day because I don't feel very equipped to get through the day. But I am because I'm here. And you are because you're here. But you need to be paying attention, because at that next place, you're going to have to believe about him a whole lot more than you do now, as a healer, as a deliverer, as a leader. In the Red Sea, when he parted that Red Sea for them, he said, let me show you what kind of a deliverer I am. When he brought manna from heaven and he brought quail at their feet, let me show you what kind of a provider I am. Let me show you what kind of a leader I am. I can make clouds move on your behalf. I can make fire move on your behalf. That's what kind of a leader you're following after. Let me show you what kind of a healer I am. Y'all grumble and complain and whine about your leader and grumble and complain and whine about me and say you wish you hadn't come out here. And so he sends snakes out to bite him. And because he is so merciful, he also healed him. What was he showing him? I'm a healer. I'm a healer. The things that they saw watching Moses before Pharaoh equipped him for the desert. And the things that they saw in the desert equipped him for their promised land. They saw things in the desert that they taught to their children. The stories went down and said, oh, let me tell you. Because see, they needed those things in the promised land. They were taking them from a land of slavery into a completely different place. They were taking them from a land of slavery into a land of possession. And those are two radically different places. It wasn't just a place they would enter into, but this was going to be a place that they were going to possess as their own. And there is a radical difference between entering a place and possessing a place. Huge difference. They entered into the desert, but the promised land they had to possess. When you enter into a place, I do this. I'm going to enter right here and right here. I'm just going to enter in. This is not that hard. That's what they did with the desert. They just followed after Moses. They entered in. When they went to possess a promised land, they had to dispossess who owned it. We've been given a promised land. And he said, it is yours. But let me tell you what. There's a current owner in there right now, and you're going to have to dispossess him in order to possess that land. See, if I want this chair right here, I would have to walk up and say, baby, move, I want your chair. No, like, really, move, I want your chair. No, like, seriously, come on, I want your chair. You're going to have to dispossess the current owner if you're going to go in and possess your promised land. No, he won't fall, he's too strong. I could not push him over. Make you an offer? Later. Later, baby. But that, in order for them to dispossess the ownership of the promised land, there was some things they had to learn and understand in the desert. And every trial and every circumstance was an opportunity for God to say, look how big I am. Let me just show you what I can do. I know this circumstance is hard. I know you're hungry. I know you're tired. I know you're thirsty. I know all of that. Lift up your eyes and look at what I'm showing you, because I am equipping you. I am teaching you, because you're going to need these things in order to go in and possess your promised land, to take it away from the hands of the current owner and to put it into your hands, which is where it rightfully belongs. God always equips his people for the place that he is taking him. Always, always equips them for the place that he is taking them. The question is, are you watching or just wondering when you're going to get out of this place of equipping? Are you watching to see what God is showing you? Are you watching? Or are you just going, when in the world are you going to let me out of here? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about when Jesus took James and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. So they go up there. Now I want you to think about this. They've been walking around with Jesus. They went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And all of a sudden, Jesus doesn't look like Jesus anymore. All of a sudden, you look different than I have ever seen you before. And they were frightened, it says. They were scared. They didn't really know what to do. So like I said, they kind of do what we do. Well, let me do something. Let me build a shelter. Don't really know what to do, and I'm a little scared, and I'm a little freaked out by what's happening here, so I'm going to do something. God says, no, I don't want you to do anything. I want to show you something. If they had been doing something, they would have missed what God wanted them to show them. And if they'd have been busy building shelters, when they walked down that mountain and back into the city, they would have been thinking about the man that they were walking with exactly the same as they did before, but I guarantee you they never did. Because they saw what happened up there. Because they weren't so busy doing, but they stopped and they saw. They walked down and they never saw Jesus the same again. And I'm going to tell you what, that's what God does in the equipping. He changes how you look at Jesus. He changes how you see him. You know what? I want you to think back of how you saw your Jesus in the first 5 years of your salvation. And how do you see him today? A whole lot of different, right? I hope so. If not, then you've been doing way too much doing and way too little watching. And you might not be as far as he needs you to be because there is an equipping that comes when you're watching and seeing what he wants you to see. One of the challenging things about the equipping is it's never just what I call money tucked in your pocket. Children come up to their daddy and they say, "Hey, Daddy, I want to go to Elitch's. Can I have some money? Equip me with a little money to go have fun." And Daddy just sticks a little money in the pocket and off you go to Elitch's. Can I tell you, the Lord's equipping is never like that. You don't just go to sleep and then wake up and you're equipped and off you go to the next place. It just doesn't happen that way. It's situations worked out with his power and with his authority for your provision and for your equipping for the next place. It is situations that are worked out with his power and with his authority for your provision in the equipping. And we get these circumstances, and they're typically hard, and they're difficult, and they're flies, and they're gnats, and they're blood when I want water, and they're sickness when I want health, in their hard hearts when all I want is a soft heart, and they're situations that he's going to work out with his power and authority to equip you. And one of the problems with the equipping, too, is you never know how long it's going to last. And we are such a microwave people. I want it and I want it now. I prayed, it should happen. I fasted, it should happen. And we don't just want to wait. Jesus spent 30 years being equipped for a 3-year ministry. 30 years. Joseph spent 27 years preparing to begin what he was called to do. Moses spent 40 years tending sheep to get ready to take the children of Israel and to do what he was called to do. Just being equipped, just being equipped, just being equipped. Andy and I were talking about John the Baptist. How long did John the Baptist wander around out there in the wilderness? And what was he doing out there? Preaching at the trees? Prophesying to the dirt? I don't know. He was being equipped. You know how I know he was being equipped? Because, boy, when it was time, all the power of God was there. And people came from all over the place. Why? To turn, to repent. Because of the power, because of the truth, because of the anointing that man carried. Why? Because he was equipped. And so when it was time, he stepped into that new place. And he didn't have to get ready in that new place. He was ready for that new place. God is trying to get you ready for the new place today before he ever puts you in that new place. Don't pray to be to the new place before it's time. You will be slaughtered there, and you will slaughter other people there. But in this place of equipping, say, "Lord, show me. Let me see you in this place." In every situation, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to back up. Ephesians 3:20. "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which you can ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us." You know what that means? You're part of the equipping. His power that is at work within us. In every situation, as I read the Word of God throughout history, and even today, I see this. I see all sorts of circumstances happening, all sorts of situations happening. And in every single one of them, there are masses of people. And there's two groups of people in every mass. And there's the self-conscious people, and then there's the remnant of God-conscious people. And in the equipping process, there's the self-conscious people that are always doing this. "Well, I don't understand why this is happening to me." There's these extreme circumstances, and these horrible things are happening, and there's always this self-conscious group, even throughout the history of time. And they're all saying, "Well, I don't know about this, and I don't know how I feel about this, and why is he in charge, and I think I could do a better job, and how long this is going to go on, and I don't think I can take this anymore, and how does this affect me?" Self-conscious, 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 self-conscious. And then there's always the remnant. And they have got their eyes up off their belly button, and they're like, "God, what are you doing here?" I want to see what you're doing here. This is not about me. This is not about how this affects me. This is not about anything, Lord, other than you. And you always see the remnant who've got their eyes lifted up and they're watching God. And they are God conscious to say, show me, show me, show me, show me, show me. I do not know how many people left and followed Moses out. But I do know this. You see the remnant who is God conscious and they said, well, let me tell you what, we can do that. I see a lot of obstacles, but let me tell you what, I've been paying attention to this whole God thing. I see who he is. We can do this. And then there was a whole bunch of other ones that were all self-conscious, and it's going to be too hard, and they're going to kill us, and I don't know, and they discouraged everybody. That's right. That's exactly who it was. So which place are you in your equipping? Are you stuck in the self-conscious place, where all you can see is what's happening to you, and all you can see is what's happening to you, and how you think about it, and how you feel about it, and I don't think, like the word of the Lord on Sunday. Or are you going to be the remnant that goes, God, show me. Show me. Open my eyes. Equip me with a greater vision of your face. Equip me with a greater understanding of who you are as my leader, of who you are as a healer, of who you are as a deliverer. I don't care if I've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. God, show me more of you. Let me see you different. Let me know you different. Let me not be self-conscious, but let me be God's conscious, even in the extreme circumstance that I am in. And then, one day, when God has your thinking and your believing and your understanding of him right, boom, you're going to wake up in that new place, and you're going to know what to do there. You're not going to have to think about what to do there. You're not going to have to wonder about what to do there. You're not going to have to pray about what to do there. You're not going to have to freak out and go, oh my God, I can't be here. I want to go back. You're going to be like, I know just what to do here. Hey, come on over here. I'm going to baptize you. Hey, come on over here. Let me tell you about Jesus. I'm not scared of you. I know exactly what to do. And I'm not scared of you because I know him. Amen? We're in the equipping. Let's get our eyes in the right place. Amen? Stand up on your feet. Whatever you want, Noelle. If you are in that place tonight, you need to lift up your eyes and get God conscious about the equipping that you're in. And lift up your eyes tonight. Say, Lord, I don't want to see me. I want to see what you're trying to show me. I don't want to do something, and I don't want to just try to figure out how to get out of this place that I am in. Lord, I want to see you differently. And when I get to that new place, I don't want to see you the same. Just like when they went down from the Mount of Transfiguration, they never saw Jesus the same. Never. Father God, I thank you so much. Thank you for what you show us. Help us, Lord, to not be busy building shelters or having our binoculars out every day looking for a way out of the place that you have us in, because you have us in this place for an equipping for the next place. So, Lord, lift up our eyes to your face. Get our consciousness off of ourself and let us be God conscious every second of every day, in every extreme circumstance that we find our lives in. I thank you, Jesus. We are the remnant. We choose to be the remnant. And we will be the remnant for you. In Jesus' name, amen.